Hello, you're watching Talking Europe. We're using cash less than we used to and relying more on private tech platforms such as Apple Pay or Revolut to handle our money and to pay for things. The EU wants to keep up with how consumers are behaving in this ultra-digital age and also to make sure that it doesn't lose control of its monetary system to private companies or even to big tech that's aligned with political powers who don't like the EU very much. This is a big part of the motivation for pushing for the digital euro. The project has been led by the European Central Bank since 2021, but the EU Commission and the European Parliament have been working on this file as well. The central bank, the ECB, puts a certain gloss on the digital euro, saying it will benefit consumers, retailers, and payment service providers. But whether citizens will actually trust that the virtual currency will do all of those things is another matter. To discuss all this, I'm joined by three MEPs who work on economic and monetary affairs. Fernand Kartheiser, welcome to you.
Thank you.
Also with me, Fernando Navarrete Rojas, a Spanish MEP from the European People's Party. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And Gilles Boyer, French MEP from Renew Europe. Hello to you as well.
Thanks for having me.
Gilles Boyer, how do you actually see this digital euro working in practice? Just very simply, you just tap your phone on a product?
I would like this project to address two concerns. First, to provide a new offer of public money with a digital wallet for European citizens who want to use it. Nobody will have to use it. Cash will remain, of course, at everyone's disposal. And second, to provide a European solution for our payments. Today, we are too much reliant on American solutions like Visa and MasterCard, and we have to create, in this field as well, a kind of autonomic strategy. So I think this project, we have many questions, many concerns to address in our discussions yet, but I think this project could answer to those two objectives.
Obviously, you both have, various reservations about the whole project. What are your main concerns, Fernand?
Well, I think that there's a huge privacy issue. We know that the European Central Bank now says that transactions will not be traceable and that total anonymity will be guaranteed. I think, first of all, in order to really guarantee anonymity, we have to preserve cash, and that must be, and I think that we agree on this also, but it must be very clear we are not putting into question cash money. And about these transactions, we have to make sure that absolutely it must be certain that this transaction cannot be traced. I just want to remind you of what happened in Canada in 2022. The government at a certain moment decided to block accounts because truck drivers were protesting in the streets. So this shows that the state can have tremendous influence taking money away from citizens because they're protesting for political reasons. We have to prevent any such developments within the European Union.
And Fernando Navarrete Rojas, as the rapporteur on the digital euro, your thinking on this whole project has evolved over time, hasn't it? And you're now a bit more sceptical.
It has evolved somehow, but I've been having these reservations about the project even when I was in the central bank community from the onset of the idea.
You were in the Spanish central bank.
I was in the Spanish central bank in my previous life. But of course, things have changed, facts have changed, assessments have changed. But the fundamental issue is that there is some unavoidable risks associated with digital euro, associated with financial instability risks. In case of stress scenarios, so there is a financial crisis, something that unfortunately we know eventually will happen in the future. We'll try to minimize this likelihood and impact, but we know. And how a digital euro will interfere in that context, I think it will be amplifying some risks and that there is a major concern. So I think, but I fully agree that Europe has to do something in terms of having European solutions for paying on a pan-European scale. That's something that has to be done. The digital euro can be a solution on that, but the key question is that the best solution? Or alternatively, the private sector, the European public sector, can provide an answer to that concern. And I think they are working very hard now. The ecosystem is changing, and we should give them a chance.
Yeah. I mean, on that point, of course, ECB controlled digital euro creates a kind of big centralized system, which is vulnerable, isn't it, in cases of big crises. So is that an argument for having perhaps a more fragmented system instead?
Well, I don't see. I see the ECB has a monopoly of a currency emission in the EU. They want to, I guess, I'm not their speaker, but they want to lead this project with the banks, not against the banks. And they want also, I think the ECB would be happy if the private initiative could at least find a solution on a pan-European level. And they can also, the ECB can also provide the interoperability solution to help the private initiative. I think we have to develop those two projects in the same time and not one after the other.
Yes, so European champions in the way that they exist in other parts of the world, perhaps, Fernand Kurthäuser.
Well, we have this argument in order to introduce the digital euro, which is often cited, that is to have a strategic autonomy for Europe, to be more independent. But I think that this discussion must be more differentiated, because we know that many of these payment systems that are considered to be American actually have their seeds in the European Union, are owned by European funds or by European companies. So it seems, I think, in the discussion that we might be more independent, I think, from the United States than it is often presented. Now, I agree with my colleagues that we have to have an autonomy as Europeans, but we should try to find a private solution, perhaps in the first place, before going to a central bank, because when the central bank goes into this, it might also be, in a certain way, a contradiction of its role. It is a regulator, it should have a surveillance role in the financial sector. When it goes into having operations itself, and to a certain extent that might be possible, there might be a contradiction in its roles.
Yeah. I think the comparison with cash is interesting. In cash there is monopoly. So the idea of coexistence is very difficult because it's a public institution. It has a very deep pocket, so competition. And it's also the regulator of the other competitors. So how can be a fair competition? So I think it's inevitable that if the ECB enters into retail digital payments, that will necessarily crowd out, and that's what the private sector is telling, it's crowding out private investments that are currently trying to solve the issue. And I think it's important to give them space, to give them a business case to develop. And if they succeed, there is no need for the retail digital euro. In case they fail, then we have to reassess. I'm not claiming the private sector necessarily will succeed. This is difficult. It's been tried several times and not been successful so far, but now they are trying again. Technology is evolving, and I think we should also care about the medium term. This has to evolve. Digital payments is highly competitive and innovative sector.
Just on that point of being crowded out, as you know, Gilles Boyer, there are concerns by small lenders in Germany particularly, but also in France, other European countries, about losing out, essentially, in a digital euro kind of scenario. Do you think they're well-founded, those fears?
Well, I think if it's well done, if all the concerns are addressed, it will be one more tool in the European citizen toolbox to use. Everyone is free to use digital euro or not to use it if they don't trust it. And cash will remain largely at the citizens' disposal. The ECB cannot act alone. We will work on it as elected officials, the Commission, the Council, and we as a Parliament. We will try to address all the concerns, to find the best solutions, to address the privacy concerns, to address the concerns of the banks. We will try to find the right balance, but I think we should start our work.
Just on the cash point, though, I mean, I've heard this point being made several times now in the debate that cash is going to stay. Do you think what's going to happen, Fernand Kurthäuser, or will it just, you know, by lack of use, go out of fashion and in the end it just disappears?
Yeah, a very good question, because we see that there is a certain pressure in many places that people should not pay anymore by cash money, but rather digitally. But I think when we go now to the digital euro, we have to be very careful. You talked about the lender and so on. We have different levels of digitalization in our member states. Some are more advanced than others. And if you want to introduce a common system of payment like this, we have also to make sure that everybody can participate in the system. And we have also the question, and if the euro, which is one of the big money actually in the world, when we introduce a digital euro, we have to ask ourselves, what is the consequence on EU non-euro countries, so on countries that are in the EU but don't have the common currency, and also outside of the European Union. So there are many, many questions that we have to deal with before reaching the point where we can say we would like to introduce it or we don't.
Mm. And what about on those kind of social issues and social exclusion? Because there are people who don't have access to stable coin, cryptocurrencies and so forth. Is that something we need to consider as well?
No, I think financial inclusion, again, Europe is very diverse also in that dimension. In some countries, that is really a concern. In some others, it's less so. In our case, we come from countries where the financial inclusion is not a major issue. But in other European countries, it is. So, yes, certainly we have to take care of that dimension. I think cash plays a key role in that and should be preserved. Also, all the caveats associated with cash. So there are some, in some countries, some limits on transaction limits on how much you can pay with cash. So cash is also, it has pros and cons. And that's I think it's important that this is not a process that leads necessarily to the zero use of cash. Yeah. We see from other jurisdictions, other countries in Europe, for example, in Sweden, that cash, even in highly advanced countries with a full digitalization, cash has a niche role. And it's rebounding. Cash is necessary, and we've seen it in the blackout in Spain.
Yeah.
People that had cash could follow their daily lives. People that don't have cash couldn't.
We're running out of time, but just a final point from you, Gilles Boyer, if I can. What do you think the timeline of all this is? When do you expect Europeans to actually be paying in digital euros?
I don't know, because we have to address many, many issues. I would love our work to start. We have already a proposal from the ECB, a proposal from the Commission. And as soon as possible, we should, finish our work. But I cannot predict when it will happen.
OK, we'll end it there. Thank you so much for this interesting discussion to all my guests, Fernand Kartheiser, Fernando Navarrete Rojas and Gilles Boyer. That's all for this episode of Talking Europe.